oneofus.net, recording live from Austin, Texas, or I guess just north of Austin, Texas.
In South Dallas.
In South Dallas at Fantastic Fest.
Day one.
Yeah. Oh, holy cow.
The infestation has moved to day one, which is like stage one, I suppose.
Stage one of?
Stage one of infestation.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Our infestation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm seeing a doctor about it. But, well, anyway, so far, so good. Got in here, had a pretty good day overall. I gotta say, I saw Cohesion was the first film I saw, which was a film I was a little skeptical about.
Coherence,
not Cohesion.
Yeah.
I'm just feeling lack of cohesion right
now. Yeah, exactly.
It might be the beer.
It might be. There's been a lot of it.
But, one of the films I'd heard some negative stuff about earlier on, but I saw it, and everyone I talked to walked out of it, including me, kind of fell in love with the thing. A weird little, very intimate story starring Nicholas Brendan from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, played Xander on there. God, I haven't seen that guy in anything since.
Yeah,
Buffy
I was surprised to hear he was still alive.
Yeah, right? And, you know, it's an intimate dinner party, bunch of guys getting together, old friends. They're all, like, seem to be getting along, but then the power goes out. We're like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, ultimately, things start getting a little weirder. Noises start coming from outside. The long shot of this is, and this is a minor spoiler, but you have to say it to say what this movie's about at all. There's a house up the street with the lights on, and when someone goes to look at it and see what's going on, they see themselves in the house.
What?
They're trapped in some sort of parallel universe loop.
Don't you hate that?
Well, and the simple fact that Nicholas Brennan is cast in it is enough reason to suspect something like that's going on.
Right.
You pretty much cast him because he has an identical twin brother.
This is a good point. It's a good point.
But I really enjoyed it. It was nice and twisty. It reminded me a little bit of Time Crimes, quite frankly.
Nice.
Yeah. You didn't get to see that one?
No, I did not get here as early as you did. I was in the final stages of editing and putting up our first infestation post, so I got here late. I got here after Machete Kills had even started seating. But the movie that I did see was the Patrick remake from Mark Hartley that I had been talking about, that it was anticipated on my list. It was very strange. It's much better than the original.
Well, that's not a big stretch.
It's not at all, but it is unusual for remakes to supersede, you know, the original. But in this case, I mean, the Aussie original had a lot of cool stuff with its concept, but also played way too much into the sort of melodrama of hospital soap opera, you know, bullshit. And I felt like this one dialed that way back. Plus, it stars, I didn't realize this, but in addition to Sharni Vincent from Year Next, also stars Charles Dance. Who is, you know, Tywin Lannister on Game of Thrones. And that was a lot of fun to watch and watch with an audience, and people really got into it. I had a blast with it.
I wish I could say I had enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
I, unfortunately, came down on the side of, like, my problem was, like, they warn you going into it. The director's like, who did the terrific documentary.
Not Quite Hollywood.
What was it called again?
Not Quite Hollywood.
Not Quite Hollywood, about the Osprey. Aussie exploitation scene.
Yeah.
A wonderful documentary, and this is, in fact, him remaking one of the films he covered in that documentary.
Yeah.
But he's like, look, this is all jump scares. And I don't have a problem with that, generally speaking, but, I thought he was waving at me. But there was like 400 jump scares that were nothing before there was an actual real scare. So by the time it actually got to a real scare, I felt like it was, The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
Sure.
I kind of lost any sort of tension that I could feel for it at that
point. I can understand that. I think what made me forgive that is how dead, and this is not a pun at all, but how much the original lacks a pulse. So the jump scares almost, to me, were a reminder that this one is alive and kicking, whereas the original was just kind of laid there and did nothing. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
Mixed feelings about it. Certainly bloody as hell.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, and a very excited to be there soundtrack.
Sure, absolutely.
It felt like someone had just listened to the soundtrack for Cape Fear on loop for 6 days and then made their own thing out of it for every sequence. The last thing I saw was a movie called Almost Human, which was a first-time director and actors, very low budget, very amateurish, but I will say this, they did find a different take to go with on the alien abduction genre,
nice.
Which generally is the exact same movie over and over.
Well, again. I mean, and the same can be said of something like, as far as low budget and actors you don't recognize, something like Altered by Eduardo Sanchez.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of potential to be mined, even in from a low-budget standpoint in that particular subgenre.
Very true. Now, this one got picked up by IFC Midnight before it even aired, so a lot of people were wondering, you know, there was certainly a full house because people were like, wow, why'd they pick it up early? And I'm kind of surprised they did. It's so low-budget.
Yeah.
But, you know, the basic idea being these guys, this guy, his friend, and his friend's girlfriend are all together when the one guy, the guy who's who has a girlfriend, gets abducted right in front of them. Flash to 2 years later, the guy is still not right, the surviving friend. He's like constantly paranoid, has nosebleeds. And when a story comes up of lights in the sky, he starts being certain something is wrong. And sure enough, his friend has come back, looking a lot like Brian Posehn with the axe, who is apparently part alien now. But he still remembers everything. He just wants to find his girlfriend again, and he's killing everyone who's in the way and infecting them with this ovipositor that comes out of his mouth after he's killed them to turn them like him.
He does not come in peace.
No, he does. Most decidedly does not. He does leave in pieces, however.
There you go.
It was what it was. I can appreciate the fact they made it for almost no money, and there's some decent gore in it and some inventive stuff, but ultimately, I think that's going to be one just for the hardcores of a horror. You know, like, I want to see what's going on the fringes.
Yeah.
Nothing really terribly original, but, you know, it was a midnight film. What do you think, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're wiped out, man.
No, it's funny. Like, I had to do the intro and the Q&A for Patrick, and that turned into something. The Q&A turned into something I did not expect, which was the director and Sharni Vincent yelling at each other.
That's different.
Yeah, I was just like, I didn't know what to do. That kind of wiped me out. And then I, you know, to calm down, I had drinks with the director and Anthony I. Ganay, who, if you know anything about Ausploitation, is sort of the Roger Corman of Australia. He's just one of those guys that just gets movies made and doesn't give a shit. And he's a really cool dude. I was really honored to meet him. But I was just kind of hanging out and drinking with them because, like, I was so frazzled by what happened during the Q&A that I didn't actually see another movie. But, you know, tomorrow's another day. Lots of good stuff to see, and I'm excited to see, you know, what happens.
It is going to be a fresh day. There's going to be more movies, more beers. I spent a lot of today setting up interviews and times to hang out and talk with some of the just cool folks who've been involved in the films.
Absolutely.
That we've seen so far, including, it looks like we're going to get a chance to talk to the guys who made Escape from Tomorrow.
Awesome.
That great guerrilla filmmaking at Disneyland movie that everybody's talking about.
Definitely.
So, I guess, you know, this one's short because there's not a lot to say so far.
First days are always the hardest. I mean, it's like camp. You know, you see all your camp buddies you haven't seen in a year, you hang out, you see maybe one or two movies, and you just kind of get acclimated to everything that's going on.
Yes, you do. Well, we obviously are growing old fast because we're going to bed before 2 a.m.
Yeah.
But we'll be back tomorrow with more stuff on Infestation.
Woo!